Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We have one of the region's finest chefs in the studio with us today. He will answer your questions about food and fine dining. Dan Smith is here. Dan has been the chef owner of John Andrews Farmhouse Restaurant in the Berkshires since 1990, creating regional cuisine for more than two decades, long before farm-to-table was a trend. He studied agriculture at Iowa State University and has worked at the likes of the Ritz-Carlton to Villa Pescatore and the Ragamont Inn. He took over Sebastian's restaurant 25 years ago in South Egremont and transformed it into the award-winning John Andrews Farmhouse Restaurant. So let's get to know Chef Smith. Give us a call right now. The number to call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also check in with us online. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. There is a Vox Pop post there. You can email us if you wish, voxpop@wamc.org, or give us a call, 1-800-348-2551. Chef Smith, nice to have you back. Now, you were on about, what, a year ago?
Or? It was approximately a year. We did a pasta segment.
That's right. Well, good to have you back on the show. This is a solo endeavor for you today.
Thank you for having me back. It's great to be back.
It's my first Food Friday since 2 weeks up in Maine. Now, you didn't bring lobster, did you?
No,
I didn't. All right, we've had quite enough of that.
Enough sand and enough lobster.
Yeah, I think it's good. 2 weeks is just about enough. So you did bring some things, and it's always an exciting Vox Pop Food Friday when I can't recognize some of them. So why don't you tell us what we have here?
Well, I basically brought a selection of items that off our menus. One's off our bar menu, our charcuterie. Duck pate, duck rillette, our house-made lamb cheddar, which
that looks delicious.
We get local lamb from Layla Burley, and we cure the lamb belly, and then we smoke it sliced really thin.
Nice.
And it also appears on our tomato salad, which is Burley Berg cheese, which is from Hoosick, New York, actually close by, which is the daughter of Layla.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where we get the lamb.
So you really believe wholeheartedly in buying local when you can for what you make?
Yes.
Yeah.
As much as possible.
And what is that? That's the thing I can't identify.
Well, this is it traveled. I mean, I reheated it here. It's house-made ricotta gnocchi.
Oh, gosh. So, oh, now I see it. Yeah, oh, yeah.
So we buy local dairy, make our own ricotta, and then we make ricotta gnocchi. And this is actually gluten-free also. Over the years, it's transformed into a gluten-free product now.
I mean, it's so colorful just to look at. It'll be almost a sin to eat it, but we'll give it a shot. Yeah. And then dessert as well, eh?
Local blackberry pound cake, sweetened chèvre, local blackberries from a local farm I just started using this summer, and then our house-made ginger ice cream.
Okay, and you make your own ice cream. There's an art to that, too.
Yeah. There's a little science to that.
And do you use the old-fashioned?
Well, we have a two-quart electric ice cream maker.
No, you do?
Yeah.
So you don't have the hand crank?
No, that's 25 years ago I had a hand crank.
Really?
Yeah.
You probably get a good workout doing that. A number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Before we taste some food, let's go to the phones. Nancy and Ravina. Nancy, you're on with Chef Dan Smith.
Hey, I'm ashamed to ask such a simplistic question because I'm a very good cook, and I've had musicians waiting to eat in my home when they came through town. But I recently bought a hummus. I always make my own. I've never bought a commercial product. But it said it had sweet red pepper, and it was magnificent, but I have never roasted a red pepper in my life. Could you tell me how to do it?
Great question.
Yeah, there's a couple different ways to go about it. If you have, obviously, like the first is an open fire or flame. So, like, you could do it on top of the grill. Oil and salt your sweet peppers first. Char them till they're blistered and the skins are basically burnt.
Okay.
And then, or you could use just a open flame burner on your range. And then,
what if you have an electric range? What do you have, Nancy? Gas or electric?
Well, I have electric, and macrobiotic cooking, you're supposed to have gas or wood.
Yeah.
And incidentally, your cardinal rule is local foods that can grow in your area. So I've always been that kind of a cook. But nevertheless, I have both, and I don't use a microwave.
I think you could also turn your broiler on and put your sweet peppers on a tray and use the broiler part of your oven to char them.
Uh-huh.
And then the next step, either put them in like a plastic bag or a mixing bowl and cover them with plastic wrap and let them set for a little bit. They'll steam, and then they're really easy to peel.
So put them in while they're hot?
Yeah.
And let them steam in the bag. Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Oh, I see. And then, I see. I know what I've been doing wrong. Because I've seen people take a fork and hold a green pepper over a flame, you know, and peel it, or a tomato, and I really didn't understand red peppers. I never cooked with them.
Yeah, well, you can just start right on the fire. Just let it go.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Right, well, thank you for this show, Ray Graff. It's marvelous.
Hey, Nancy.
Only a trombone player could come up with a show like this.
Oh, you know, I don't produce these shows, Nancy, but thank you very much. Hey, drop me an email when you got a chance. I have some good news for you.
Oh, okay, I will.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
I appreciate the call. Always good to hear from Nancy, a longtime listener. Bess in Guilderland. Bess.
Oh, yes, here I am. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I have heard something about potatoes, the regular brown potatoes, that if they have a green tinge on the peel, they aren't necessarily all that appetizing, or there could be something toxic in the skin.
I don't use them. I don't know exactly what it stands for, but I think it is something that's picking up from the soil it's grown in. So
yeah.
I don't actually know the correct answer to that, but I do believe it's either lacking chemical in the soil or maybe too much water.
Yeah, and you know, we're having some troubles with our tomatoes. It's not the tomato blight in our garden this year, but we cut one and it's... you know, it looked ripe, and it's all black in the middle. So there's probably some weather-related issues. I think that question might go over really well on the gardening show.
Yes, okay. Well, I was talking about potatoes with a P.
Right, right. No, I get it.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate the call. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We are joined today by Chef Dan Smith, who is the chef owner of John Andrews Farmhouse Restaurant. So that's in South Egremont, but it's sort of on the way to Catamount, right?
Yeah, it's really close to Catamount, about a mile from New York state border.
So that's pretty great. So you can get guests from both states and business all right?
Yeah, it's great. We're having a great summer. We actually get a lot of people from New York state, even the Albany area.
So what's the most popular dish right now?
This time of year, our halibut that's on our menu is our most popular.
Really?
Yeah.
And how do you do the halibut?
We're using local sweet corn from Taft Farm, fingerling potatoes from a couple different local farms. Swiss chard also. It's pan roasted. It's served with those items, a light balsamic vinaigrette. So, I mean, the corn and the halibut's a nice combination.
We had some halibut over the last couple of weeks. It's nice stuff.
And this time of year, obviously, it's a little lighter.
And quite a bit cheaper than lobster.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is still not. They say it's been a great catch up there, but it still ain't cheap. You know, one great restaurant up there that is a total diamond in the rough and no one knows about it unless you go to York, Maine. It's Mimo's Italian Restaurant. This older guy who had a restaurant in New York City for years and years. It is great, world-class Italian food, like right on the beach.
I'll have to check it out if I get that
way. If you ever get up there, go to Mimo's. A number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. We'll eat some food in a minute, but let's take a call or two. Our call screener, Barb King, is writing it down for us right now, and she's obviously writing a novel. All right, let's try something. Let's try something right here. What do you want to eat?
Well, maybe you should start with the charcuterie. Tomato, maybe we should just go and proceed.
Okay. Well, now, without our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall, who is not here today, we'll have to do this ourselves. It may get a little messy, but it's a big table, right? We'll clean it up afterwards. All right, let's give it a shot here. Is that my fork?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
Okay. So, I got to try this.
Yeah, the lamb cheddar is great. It's we coined it lamb cheddar because it's cured much like a pork belly for a pancetta. And then we also we smoke it in-house.
Oh, God.
And there's a little spice to it, a little smokiness to it, a little sweet. It goes really great with the Indian Line Farm tomato salad that we're serving, beefsteak tomatoes and Brandywine heirloom tomatoes.
We'll do that as soon as we get to our next call here. This is amazing. It's got a bacony taste, and I could eat this with eggs and toast.
That's kind of funny because I just made an omelet today with lamb cheddar and some actually our local chef.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I had to add some sambal to it.
You know, next time, just saying, you could bring some of that next time. Let's go to line two and Mike in Albany. Mike, you're on.
Hi, I just had a comment on a previous caller's question about the green in the potatoes.
Yeah.
It's called solanine. It's a poison that the potatoes develop when they get exposed to sunlight.
Oh, really?
And I think you'd have to eat a whole lot of it to make it sick, but basically if you can just peel away the green part of the skin or any green of the potato, the rest is usable.
But you said that is a poison?
It is a poison. It's a natural poison. But, you know, you'd be amazed. There's natural poisons in just about everything we eat. At least to some degree.
That's very interesting. Did you know that, Chef?
I knew there was a lot of poisons in food. I mean, even if you eat too much kale, it's a little bit toxic. So.
Yeah, that's why, you know, eat wild stuff. You want to vary your diet. Like even spinach has solanine or oxalic acid in it. I did have a question for the chef, though.
Sure.
Do you incorporate any wild edibles in any of your dishes?
Ah.
Yeah, I do. I don't have any on the menu right now, but obviously this spring I love using morels. It's actually one of my childhood favorite memories is foraging for morels when I was younger.
Where'd you grow up?
Iowa. I grew up in a
farm. Oh, you did grow up in Iowa.
Yeah. Well, and then rams, I have used. I'm not a big fan of fiddleheads. But rams and dandelion greens, and I did a farm forage menu this summer for a group of college students, and there was a couple items that I wasn't, you know, nettles, which I don't use a lot, but it was actually turned out really nice.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it, Mike. You know, foraging is, we've done a few foraging shows now. It's so popular, it blows my mind.
Yeah.
It's something I never even thought of until I started doing this show.
I wish I just took more time to actually do it. I don't take enough time to get outside.
Well, you got
to
be in the kitchen, right?
That's what drives me, so.
And that's why he's a chef, boys and girls. Dan Smith is here. We'll take a break. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. It's a Meet the Chef edition of Vox Pop Food Friday. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Manny's TV and Appliances. Family owned since 1977, now offering olive oil from his vineyards in Crete, available at Atkins, River Valley Market, Randall's, Foster's, and Big Y grocery stores, mannysoliveoil.com. Healthy Living Market and Cafe, Saratoga Springs, featuring divine wines at the Wilton Mall, with wines from all over the world and weekly tastings, healthylivingmarket.com. Current Compliance Services Incorporated, Greenwich, New York, and now in St. Paul, Minnesota, National Compliance and Regulatory Consultants for the Life Insurance Industry, currentcompliance.com. Baba Louie's, Pittsfield, Great Barrington, and Hudson, New York, featuring lasagna night every Monday with salad and a basket of bread, babalouiespizza.com. And Simmons Recovery Consulting, advocating for public entities that are recipients of a FEMA disaster, specializing in financial strategy development and grants management, Simmons Recovery Consulting.
Vox Pop on WAMC Food Friday. Meet the Chef, and Dan Smith is here from John Andrews Farmhouse Restaurant. I got to tell you, during the break, I had a chance to try the pickled onions.
Oh, God.
Really?
Really?
They're quite simple, but they're great.
All right. How do you make them?
We use local red onions, slice them very, very thin, and then we heat rice wine vinegar with a small amount of sugar and a little bit of jalapeno and pour the hot pickling. We use a little bit of juniper coriander as a pickling spice in that, and pour the hot vinegar over the red onions, and
it turns
them really kind of bright red, pink, hot pink.
It's amazing stuff. And how long do you have to pickle it?
This is pretty much a quick pickle, so they're ready to go in a day or two, and then they keep for, you know, a while. So.
Yeah, okay. So far, you're batting 1,000. The phone lines are lighting up here. Let's go back to them. 1-800-348-2551. Jillian in Sharon Springs. How's Sharon Springs today, Jillian?
Oh, not bad. A little humid, a little hot, but not bad.
Humidity is starting to move into the region, it seems.
Yep.
So you're
thunderheads. Yep.
You are on the air.
Okay, I think that I have the correct answer to the woman that was asking about the green on the potatoes. I'm an avid gardener and have been gardening for 30 years or more.
Yeah.
And there are different strategies out there for planting potatoes, kind of experimental things.
Yeah.
What people have been trying to do, rather than having to dig the potatoes, which is labor-intensive, is that they've been covering them with straw or actually growing them inside of straw bales or other methods like that. When you get green on your potatoes, that is actually sunburn.
Oh.
Your potatoes are not supposed to be, any tuber, it's not supposed to be exposed to sunlight. So that means that you are not covering them heavily enough. I've experimented with these things, and I've gotten on one side of, typically on one side of the potato, you know, the top side, they'll be a little green. It's not toxic to my knowledge. I've just cut that part off and just used the potato anyway.
I have to tell you, Jillian, it's funny how these shows go. Sometimes a topic will come up early and that it's the most popular topic. I have three email here, all saying the same thing you just said.
Okay, so, there you go.
Bonnie and Jamie and a bunch of other people have already checked in. So thank you for calling and answering this once and for all.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jillian. Bye. 1-800-348-2551. While Jillian was talking, I ate that.
The ricotta gnocchi? That's one of our signature dishes.
That's unbelievable.
And I was just kind of, this was going through my mind last night, how this evolved. I don't know how many years ago, 20? We had potato gnocchi on that I was actually buying, and then we started making that. And then we started making ricotta and gnocchi, buying ricotta, and then we make our own ricotta now. So it just keeps evolving, and that kind of sums up what we do at John Andrews.
Okay, so I got to tell you, it is beautiful to this dish is beautiful to look at because you have the greens in there, and it's still warm, by the way. If you want some, go ahead.
Yeah.
It's really good, really, really tasty. And so you make all your own. All your own pastas and gnocchis and everything?
Yeah. We do have mac and cheese on our bar menu, so we don't make the dried elbows for that.
Oh, really?
We do have a couple of dried pastas. I'm not opposed to using them, but we do make our house-made fettuccine, the ricotta and gnocchi. We make raviolis.
To show you how strange my household is, I had a long conversation with a couple of my daughters and my wife about making pasta last night, and we've never done this. So how tough is it to do?
It's not that difficult because the ingredients are mainly, if you just make regular plain or regular pasta dough, it's flour, egg, and a touch of oil and a small amount of salt.
But it's getting a lot of work to get it ready, isn't it?
Yeah, if we use a mixer, KitchenAid or Hobart, depends on the size, and you get the texture right initially. You don't want the dough too wet, and then it just takes a matter of time to roll it out.
So it's something that a beginner can do, or will there be inevitable errors the first couple of times?
There's going to be errors.
Yeah.
Because you want to, you know, it's not coming together quick enough, so you add another egg, and then it's too wet, and then it's too hard to work.
And then you just throw it out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I found over the years, like, it's better to add a little bit less eggs at the beginning and then gradually add a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Versus adding too much egg and the pasta is too soft and then you have to add flour. It just doesn't.
And then you end up with a lot.
Yeah, or it just doesn't have the right texture. You kind of want like a pebbly or like a pea-sized cornmeal-y texture.
Oh, really?
And then it comes together, you force it together with, you know, and then it actually has a really great texture. That's where you get your, what they call it, when you cook it al dente, the bite.
Yeah.
You're building the gluten in it.
I have a strong suspicion that we will not try it.
Actually, be honest, I'm gluten-free, so I didn't even think about bringing fettuccine today.
That's all right. That's all right. I don't think we'll be making it, is what I mean. All right, let's go over to Sarah in Beckett, Mass. Sarah.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. And again, I'm sorry to come up with the solanines on the potato.
Ah.
But they call them tomatoes, potatoes, eggplants, and peppers, the deadly nightshades because of the solanine.
Oh.
And a solanine, and if you have arthritis, those are things that you should avoid.
Really?
Right.
Keep talking. I'm going to have some more gnocchi here.
And about the gnocchi, my mother was from Poland, and she would make kluskis, which were flour and potato and egg. I imagine that was the Polish version of gnocchi. But I'm a vegan. I don't eat eggs, and I don't eat potatoes.
Yeah.
So I make my gnocchi with kabocha squash. It's a nice dry squash. I cook it, I mash it, and add flour to it and a little salt. And when I get the right consistency, I roll it out and cut it up and put it in boiling water.
Is it tough to get that consistency?
I don't do it that often, but I have an abundance of the squash here in my house. I'm going to make the gnocchi this week.
Oh, good for you. Well, thank you for calling, Sarah. We appreciate it.
Sure.
Bye. Over to David in New Paltz. David, you're on.
Hi, Ray. Welcome back. Hey. We really missed you.
Hey, nice.
You got the best radio voice on this radio station.
Nice to have here and nice to be back. Nice to have you on the show.
Well, I wanted to make a comment about this year's corn. I'm usually a corn fanatic. I usually go to the corn stand first thing in the morning when it comes in every year, you know?
Yeah.
This year, I've been very disappointed with the corn. In fact, I gave it up completely because, and I asked the farmer about it, and he says that the seed companies, there's one seed company that sells to all the farmers. And in that seed, they put in herbicides and resistant chemicals and stuff
really?
Like that.
Really? I'll be darned.
And there's a chemical taste to the corn now that doesn't taste really right. And not only that, but boy, did I get constipated for about a week with
Wow. Well, thanks for sharing stuff. That. I appreciate it.
And also, I'd like to say something about the wheat nowadays. You know, the wheat has been changed also. There used to be a long-stem wheat that we used to have, an old-fashioned kind of
yeah.
wheat that was for the past 5,000 years we've been eating. Well, they got it down to a low-stem, high-yield grain, but it turns into sugar too fast in your system.
Huh.
And it really puts on the weight.
Ah, you know, and we've had people on talking about that. Hey, thanks for the call, David. So David's point was a good one about the corn. I don't know. I don't really eat that much corn. When you shop local and when you deal with from farm to table, sometimes you have to change the menu sometimes, right?
Yeah, we actually change the menu around the products that we get in.
Yeah, and so
my mind works closer to that way. It's almost when it reaches the kitchen door, then there's a light that clicks on. And
I'll do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so have you noticed any issues with corn this year?
We got some locally that it wasn't fully developed.
Early for corn?
It was a later. It was actually a week or two late this year.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I know what happened years ago. This lady thought I was going home to Iowa, and she's like, oh, you're from the potato state, where I'm originally from the corn state. So there's this little product thing going on.
They're very similar.
Yeah, they're very similar.
1-800-348-2551 is the number. Dan Smith of the John Andrews Farmhouse Restaurant is here, and let's go over to Bob in Taconic. Bob, you're on. Interesting call, Bob. Bob, what Barb wrote down was, how did your restaurant get its name? So I'll ask the question for Bob, who hung up rudely.
I opened the restaurant, with my partner and my now ex-wife, Susan Bianchi. And the restaurant came from her grandfather. His name was Giovanni Andreas.
Mm-hmm.
We were not going to be
Italian restaurant.
Yeah, traditional Italian restaurant. We have a little Italian flair, but we Americanized his name. And actually, the previous owner, or the owner of Sebastian that we bought the restaurant from, actually helped us name the restaurant. He picked that out.
He said anything but Sebastian's?
Well, no, he just thought it was a good idea to change it. I mean, Sebastian is his son also, and that's where the restaurant came from. He just thought it was a good idea for us to take over and change.
You know, you brought dessert. And if you look, the ice cream has melted.
I know.
Maybe
we should have started first.
You know, dessert first is always a good plan.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, we'll have to try that after the next break, melted or not.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones again. And Nancy in Gansevoort, you're on.
Hi. I'm also from Iowa. I'm from Northeast Iowa. Thought it was funny that you said that people thought you were from Idaho. People actually, when I came out here, thought I was from Idahoa. And I had to explain to them that there's no such thing
Idahoa.
As Idahoa.
I love it.
anyway, the reason I started to dial is that you said you're from Iowa. My dad was a good gardener, and he would take cucumbers and onions from the garden, because we had so many of them, he made this. I know it had vinegar in it, and it had to be white vinegar because it was clear, but he never left the recipe. He never made a recipe for anything. Do you know what he did, how he did it?
What your grandfather did? I have a feeling my grandfather did the same thing, and I don't think it could be a variation of the vegetable, like the piccadilly, something like that. I wish I had more of the recipes for my, you know, my family. I have to research that a little bit more.
Hmm.
So, but I believe I've actually had it myself, the cucumber and the cucumber onion pickle.
Yes, it's something he would just put in a bowl, and then he added this vinegar mixture, there's no way I can't duplicate it. And he would just put it in a bowl and stick it in the fridge. And then in 24 hours, it was ready to eat. And it would keep for, you know, a couple of weeks.
I think it was pretty much what it was. Maybe a touch of sugar in there with the white vinegar and a touch of salt is all it was.
And would you cut the vinegar by what, with water, anything?
On a typical pickling solution, they do cut it with water, so that's a possibility. I tend to use rice wine vinegar, so I don't...
It's the new studio.
Yeah,
the mics are all over the place.
I'm trying to talk with my hands again.
To everybody listening, and it's kind of tough to get used to.
I use rice wine vinegar, so I tend not to cut that with water. But white vinegar, you need to cut it, I think, by, you know, add like every cup you use of white vinegar, add a cup of water.
Okay. Hey, Nancy, right, by the way, you should try Dan's recipe for the pickled red onion. Ridiculously good.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. 1-800-348-2551. Thankfully, these calls are involved because I'm chowing on the gnocchi. It's an amazing dish. Tell us again what's in this dish.
It's the ricotta gnocchi using Highland Farm, which is, in a way, we have three generations of farms that I'm representing here. We have Highland Farm, Lila Burley, which is grew up on Highland Farm. It's her lamb. And then Burley Farm, which is Lila's daughter.
Wow, amazing. So,
but it's a Highland Farm dairy, which we make the ricotta gnocchi, parmesan de prosciutto, a touch of roast tomato for a little depth in the sauce with olive oil and a little chicken stock.
And this is one of your signature dishes?
Yeah. It kind of varies through the season. Like, we put roast squash in it in the fall, but this is the most popular version.
I could see that this would be a fairly popular thing. I could eat probably a huge bowl.
We did. In May, we celebrated 25 years, and we brought this back as one of the 25 classic dishes that we did. And it's actually really good. Can I forget about it if I take it off the menu, how good it is?
All right, leave it on the menu. Let's go to Nancy, another Nancy. Nancy in Schenectady, you're on.
I was thinking there was a preponderance of Nancy.
That's all right, Nancy. It's a good name.
I was just thinking, when you were talking about wild edibles and using the morels and the dandelion leaves, et cetera, actually one of my favorites that I am surprised more people don't use is, you know, the common blue violets. Not only the flowers, but the leaves are edible and delicious. They don't have the bitterness that the dandelions do. I started making salads in the spring, adding the violet leaves to the salad, and then one day I ran out of other greens and just used the violets, and it was really good. So I would suggest adding that to your...
I will try that. I have not tried those.
So as things are available and plentiful, you'll try them out or use them in your kitchen?
Yeah.
All right. Nancy, thanks a lot.
Okay, enjoy.
Thanks for being the 12th Nancy on the show today. Well done. I appreciate the call. Let's go to... is this Nancy?
No.
Oh, is it...
This is Ken.
Can we call you Nancy?
No, you're everything, but yep.
You're on, man. Go.
Good. I've got a question slightly off topic. You go out to an upscale restaurant, and they tell you the specials of the day. My friend and I are having an argument. My sense is that the specials of the day are the things the chef does best that he wants to show. My friend insists that it's just the stuff that's left over in the kitchen that he wants to get rid of. What's the true story?
Well, it could be both, but the area that I live in, the Berkshires, and work, there might be some restaurants that do that, but typically it's, I think I can speak for most. I got in wild striped bass That's not on our menu. That's what I'm using this weekend for a special.
Sure.
It's actually arriving today. We're going to use it tonight. So that's how we approach specials. Every once in a while, like say if we have an abundance of something, yes, we do utilize it, but it's we use it as a family meal before if it's on the verge of not being in its prime.
Okay.
But sorry, so if it's a special, it's the thing that this is something you can really do something special with.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, it's an avenue for us to be creative and try something out.
Okay. I win.
Hey, Ken, where in Western New York are you?
Central New York, Russia, New York.
Oh, great. Hey, we appreciate the call.
You know, it's right by Norway, New York, and Poland, New York, and it's actually about 5 miles from your Remsen transmitter.
Well, we appreciate, believe me, we really appreciate you tuning in on that one, and thanks for the call. This email came in, Dan, from Norm, who says, "Dear food professionals," well, there's one food professional in the room, Norm, so you're wrong about that. He says, "My grandmother made this stuff and lived to be 101. She bequeathed the recipe to me when she died." You ready? This is the cucumber recipe. One cucumber, one Bermuda onion, quarter cup white vinegar, 2 tablespoons sugar, half something hot water. I don't know what it is. Doesn't say what. 1.5 teaspoon salt and 1/4 teaspoon of black pepper. Slice, douse, and refrigerate.
Ah, so I left out the black pepper.
There you go. Yeah. And then apparently the old lady lived to be 101.
Well, pickles are great for your health.
I've known many a pickled person that has
lived a couple different variations of pickles, aren't there?
A long time, yes, indeed. Well, it's almost dessert time, and the ice cream is melted, but really, at the end of the day, who cares? 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. We will take a break, and then we will hit the home stretch with Chef Dan Smith of John Andrews Farmhouse Restaurant. We'll be back.
For WAMC comes from Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, located in the Old Town Hall, Sunderland, Massachusetts. Open Tuesday through Sunday at 5. Featuring outdoor dining on the patio and front porch throughout the summer, blueherondining.com. Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts. Planning and catering weddings, showers, reunions, and other gatherings, indoor or out. At the Curtis House, with 3 rooms available, or at a variety of venues around the area, gloriosaco.com. Alacrity Frame Workshop, Lark Street, Albany, New York. Offering custom framing and local art in the Capital Region. Open 7 days a week, 518-915-1956. Ward's Nursery and Garden Center, Great Barrington. For native ornamental grasses, drought-tolerant perennials, shade trees, pest repellents, and garden advice, wardsnursery.com. And Old Castle Theater Group, downtown Bennington, Vermont. Presenting Black Comedy by Peter Schaefer. An enlightening farce that begins when the lights go out, August 21st through September 6th. OldCastleTheater.org for tickets.
Vox Pop on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday. Chef Dan Smith is here from John Andrews Farmhouse Restaurant in the Berkshires in South Egremont, kind of near Catamount. All right, I had the dessert. Melted ginger ice cream or no, that's a darn good dessert. So tell us about the cake first.
It's a blackberry pound cake, which we've updated the pound cake traditionally. You know, it's a heavier cake.
It's still got some heft to it.
Yeah. Incorporated the local blackberries. These are from, I think they just named their farm. It's first time I've used them. Nine Mile Farm out of Stockbridge.
Okay.
Stockbridge, and then it's their blackberries here. The Ross and Brooks Chev, which we've lightened a little bit with whipped cream and a touch of local honey.
Yep.
This blackberry syrup, which is now kind of blending into the melted ginger ice cream.
That's still nice though, and that Chev is amazing on its own.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, there's some cholesterol here. I'll be honest with you.
There's some
cholesterol here, but you know what? It's worth it. Back to the phones we go at 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Kevin in Greenfield, Mass. Kevin, you're on.
Hello there.
Hello.
I was hoping the chef could speak about soaking grains. We make our own bread at our house, and we soak the grains to break down the phytic acid in the grains. And I didn't know if the chef could share with our listeners a little bit of information about soaking grains.
I don't have a lot of information on that. I don't tend to use any, you know, we make bread, but I have just a regular flour that we use for that. We don't grind anything in-house for that. Even though we do as much as possible, we don't have room to add much more to our in kitchen operations.
There's only so many things you can do. Kevin, I guess, you know, we do shows on bread, and so that's a perfect question to ask some of the bread makers next time we do that.
Wonderful. I thought your previous listener was talking about the extra sugars in the short grains that are being developed, and I thought maybe if soaking the grains, you could cut down on some of those. But
well, that's an interesting question. Yeah, I mean, we have talked about the, you know, they use some of the ancient, what do they call the ancient grains now?
Heirloom grains.
Just as a way of perhaps fighting some of that. And so I think it would be a good topic the next time we do a bread show, Kevin.
Perfect. Well, thank you folks very much.
Thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551. John in Great Barrington. John, you're on.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I have a quick question, I hope, and that is, does the chef give cooking lessons? And I'll just follow up and say that, you know, you've got all these great ingredients and everything is delicious, but how does someone that wants to, like, the fast track to learning how to make these, there's got to be someone that can, you know, take you and bring you into their kitchen and show you. And the only thing I'm going to follow up with is I used to know someone that did that, and they would actually take people to the grocery store, help them pick the best ingredients, then bring them home and cook a fabulous meal. And I just thought that would be a really fun way to spend a day or three.
I have done that. I did that for a small group last fall, so I have done it off and on. I don't really hold any cooking classes or lessons in the restaurant kitchen. I'm involved with Railroad Street Youth Project. We do have that. That's a couple hours a day on a day that we're open, so even that is a little tight.
There are only so many hours a day.
Yeah. Well. And you should reach out to the restaurant. I'd love to talk to you more about it.
John, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it very much. So your day, first of all, you open for lunch?
No, we're open just for dinner.
Okay, so what time does your day begin, prep? In the kitchen.
In the kitchen? Yeah. I start bread at 9:30 in the morning.
Yikes. So that's a long day. And then what time is your final serving?
On the weekends, we close at 10.
So that's a long day. Yeah, you got to be dedicated to your work.
There's some 15-hour days involved in the summertime.
Yeah. It's like radio, but we don't end up with really good food. It's very strange. All right, this email came in. Do you make a deep dish escarole pie? How about meat pies and rice pies around Easter? I miss them so. That's from Jamie.
Not so much.
No?
What do we have? If we do anything like that, we tend to maybe have it for, you know, like the shepherd's pie item for a family meal.
Mm-hmm. All right, over to the phones again, and Jack in Sheffield. Jack, you're on. Hello, Jack.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Hi. I just want to say I love your restaurant.
Thank you.
They're the February. I have the sweetbreads, which is
connection's pretty bad, Jack. Are you on a cell phone? Yeah, maybe you could turn it in another direction.
Hello?
Hello, we got you now.
Okay. I had the sweetbreads thinking they were some kind of bread. Didn't know what they were. They were delicious. My question is, what is a simple meal that I could prepare with relatively low cooking skills that's healthy, cheap, and it can be done quickly?
Well, I see you live in Sheffield? Is that what I see? We get cheat sheets here, so.
Yeah, we have a little sheet that says.
Are you in Sheffield, Mass?
I am, yeah.
Well, what I do on my day off, sometimes I just head down to Boardman's Farm or all the way down a little bit farther to Wolf Spring Farm or south to, I'm going to blank out on that farm, but you can also, go to the local farm stand, get some vegetables.
I think the market is today, actually.
The Sheffield Great Market is, yes, late on Friday afternoon, which I don't make it to. I make to the Great Barrington one. But anyway, you could do...
We lost them, but go ahead and answer the finish up.
Yeah, just grab some local vegetables. You know, the simplest way, slice up tomatoes, some local cheese, grill some vegetables. That's the easiest meal to prepare.
You ever go out to eat?
I do.
Really? Are you a tough critic, or do you just let it slide if something's not quite up to your standards?
I don't feel like I'm a critic, but you do analyze stuff.
Do you get a real competitive streak when you go into another restaurant?
There's a group of us that do events together, and I know that there's always that competitive thing too.
Yeah.
Not really try to up one the other with undermining edge.
Right.
But we're putting our best foot forward.
Right.
In a more of a positive way.
So almost an athletic competition.
Yeah.
So you try to do that much better. I mean, we've had groups of chefs on this program before, and they all seem to get along pretty well. Yeah. But I wondered, in the real world, if they're catty or...
Yeah, we stab each other behind
the
back.
Yeah, but no, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, let's go back to the phone again, and Victor in Port Ewan. Victor, you're on.
Yeah, hi, Chef. I am really interested in doing a lot of local source cooking. And during the summer and in the fall, it's quite easy to do so. Here in the Hudson Valley and in New York, we have a vast wealth of locally sourced products. However, the problem we're getting into is in the winter and in the spring. I understand that, there's only so much you can do. I mean, the vegetarians in the winter and spring are still asking for vegetarian cuisines. And I was wondering, how you handle the locally sourced products.
We try to preserve some from the summer and fall bounty as much as possible. The one problem, have it, John Andrews, if we try to preserve something, rather like taking a tomato and cooking it down so it's taking up less space, it's still whether freezer space or drying it or pickling it, it's still a matter of what we have, space available.
Yeah.
And also, it's a matter of time in the summer for us because it is our busiest season, and then to add the whole another level of preserving for the winter,
But I mean, there are hot houses and there are people who specialize in this sort of thing.
Yeah, and we still get local stuff through the winter. It's just more limited than what's available in the summer.
Okay, thank you very much.
Victor, I appreciate the call. 1-800-348-2551. Still a little time if you want to get in and talk to Chef Dan Smith of John Andrews Farmhouse Restaurant in South Egremont. And I just tried a piece of the cheese. I'm eating all over the place here. So I had a little of the cake and the ice cream. I'm still eating the gnocchi and the tomato. And I just had a piece of the cheese. And where's the cheese from?
Hoosick, New York.
Very good.
Which is just a little east of Troy.
Yeah, it's very good.
Which I'm meaning to go there. And if I actually had more time, I'd just drive there today on my way back to work. But Beatrice Burley makes this solar-powered farm in Hoosick, New York.
Solar-powered farm.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Okay. Yeah, she makes one of the best yogurts.
Yeah,
and other items too. I get I get cornmeal that she grinds in the fall from the little organic corn that she grows.
Wow.
A little amount of organic corn that she grows.
That's
we're talking maybe like a total of 15 pounds of polenta.
It's not a big operation.
No,
that's really good though. And the cheese is delicious.
And then this crowdy here is like a fresh farmer's cheese. That's her product also.
And that's good.
Yeah.
Then tell us one more time before we go back to the phones. This tomato dish, it looks fairly simple, but it sure tastes complex.
Well, we have, obviously just local tomatoes. We have some microgreens from Zinke's farm in Canaan, Connecticut.
Yeah.
We have Beatrice Burley from Burley Farm, her crowdy, fresh farmer's cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Arugula pesto.
Arugula
from Equinox. And then our lamb cheddar, which is from Lila's lamb, but we house cure. So there's steps to it, and you don't have to do all the steps at once. I mean, there's, the arugula pesto holds for a little while. We make batches of the lamb cheddar and actually have to freeze it in order to keep it. So
I got to say, I think the lamb cheddar wins the blue ribbon today.
Yeah.
I had
to bring that because I thought you might enjoy that.
Yeah, well, you know me too well. Let's go to Judy in Hinsdale. Judy.
Yes. Hello. I have just purchased a new gas stovetop, and I've cooked on electric for over 30 years and wondered if you had any tips for gas. I'm kind of anxious, but I'm excited about it.
Okay.
For gas?
For gas,
yeah. And you're switching over from electric to gas?
Yes, I am.
Well, it's in a way, it's easier to work with because the response time is quicker than... be honest, I have an electric stovetop, and where we live, where my wife and I live, everybody kind of laughs at me, like, really, you cook with electric? But it's and it takes a little while to get used to electric. I mean, this was, you know, newer one, which is actually quite amazing.
Is it the flat where there are no burners?
Yeah,
they are amazing. Not if you have little kids, though. Dangerous.
No. Yeah, that's true. But I actually found it to be quite amazing. But gas is a quicker response to adjusting to the heat. You know, you can actually get a pan hotter, like a cast iron pan, a little bit hotter per se, and sear something.
But there is a transition from going one to the other.
There is a transition, yeah.
And so when you've cooked with electric, as Judy has, and then you go to a gas stove, are you much more concerned about not putting that flame up too high?
I think, but I mean, you can always, you know, start high, turn the pan back down. You want to get the pan hot in the first place anyway. It's good for searing, so whatever you're cooking doesn't stick to the pan. So then you can always adjust the heat.
You want to follow up, Judy?
One quick question. Those spray, like Pam or whatever, do you ever use those for, you know, I have a lot of stainless steel pans, and so to, you know, prevent them, things from sticking, I use that. Is that something, or can you give me a tip on something that would make things not stick versus the Pam?
Yeah.
Great question.
Yeah, it's actually the best way without using a spray is get your pan hot. And once it's hot, you know, let it get heated up for a couple minutes, hit it with olive oil, or, you know, drizzle a little olive oil in there, and then swirl the olive oil. And also, you can also let your pan cool down a little bit, but do this and then let your pan cool down. If you want to especially do fried eggs, and then let your pan cool back down and your eggs won't stick.
Oh, okay. So but, basically, it's the same thing as spraying canola or whatever.
Yeah, but it's almost like you're seasoning your stainless steel pan to order, or, you know, each time. You have to get it hot, add the oil, cool it back down, and then you can actually use it without sticking.
Well, thank you for the tips. I appreciate it.
Hey, Judy, thanks for calling. Over to Sue in Great Barrington. Sue, you're on.
Hello. I write and lecture on allergies, and I wanted to say in response to the person who said, do not eat the nightshades. It's very specific to each person. You might be able to eat a tomato, but not an eggplant and that sort of thing. And all arthritis, in my experience, is caused by food, which people don't want to hear.
Huh, interesting.
Because you might have to give up something you adore. But people should just personalize the whole thing and look at it in terms of their own body, not in terms of what somebody writes in a book or somebody gives you a rule or here's a list. So.
Okay.
Is there
any empirical evidence that all arthritis is food-based?
No, only the thousands of people I know, the people that I've worked with, the pain in my own body, my family. Other evidence in, well, all the doctors who do nutritional medicine know that and talk about it, but it has never reached mainstream, and so they give you pills.
Hey, Sue, that's a fascinating call. Thank you very much. Boy, what an interesting and varied topic
very
list
varied.
On the program today, huh?
It was great.
All right, so we have about 3 minutes left here. Somebody can jump in if you want to call, 1-800-348-2551. Other than that, why don't you just give us some basic tips? Somebody, in other words, I'm awful in the kitchen. The person who's starting out, the mindset, where you want to be up here in your brain before you prepare something.
Let's see. A couple of ones, but just give yourself the freedom just to follow through, even if you fail.
Yeah.
And then it actually, you might fail a couple of times if you're a beginner. You're bound to. I made many mistakes, and you know, there's working with chocolate the first time. I'm sure I never.
In a professional setting, or did you do? Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's got to be tougher.
I swear I never threw anything against the wall. So.
Really? And so
I mean, you make mistakes, but don't be afraid of failing. Also, like, there was a book I read, and it had no amounts on the ingredients. And it just said, like, if you like onions, cook with a lot of onions. If you're cooking for a lot of people, use a large pot. And then it was kind of daunting to look at.
It's kind of a zen-like attitude.
It was actually, after a little while, it's actually a great way to just to follow it.
All right, very quickly, and we only have about 30 seconds here. Margie and Olive Bridge, you have the last question.
Oh, man. Thank you so much. What a great show.
Thanks.
Hey, I'm curious to know about Calphalon pans, since the subject of picking. And what do you think about that?
Love the question. Love it.
Yay.
What do I think about their product? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, that type of material.
I'm wary of those kinds of things.
I tend to use mostly all clad, the stainless steel. And I mean, a lot of different reasons, but, you know, also we go through, we use them, they're really durable, they're easy to clean.
Stainless steel?
And they're stainless steel on inside and out.
What about iron?
And we use cast iron also.
Yeah.
I have some Calflon that I use with, but a lot of it's cooking at home.
Okay, we're done. I'm so sorry, Margie.
No, that's okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dan Smith. Way to go, man. Good job. Nice to have you. And great food.
Thank you so much for having me.
And, you know, I have about 25 minutes before Northeast Report, so I'll just eat all the rest of
it. Yeah, well, I hope it was a great segue from your vacation to back to work.
So nice to have you back on the show, and thanks to everybody who called in. Support comes from Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tasting Saturday afternoon, spirithaus.com. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. And the Lathrop Community, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for 25 years. Independent living in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts, in the heart of the Pioneer Valley. Lathrop.kendall.org. Thanks again to Chef Dan Smith for being here of John Andrews Farmhouse Restaurant. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Barb King took your calls. Our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. Thanks for being with us this week on Vox Pop. I'm Ray Graff. We'll be back next week. Alan with a Medical Monday. Have a great weekend.